Hello and welcome back to the Rusted Culture. I'm your host, Frank Ebersold, and as always, it's good to have you back here. We want to thank you for tuning in. And today's show is going to focus on how we need to keep pushing the swamp people back into the swamp. Don't give up yet. Don't put the pitchforks down. We're talking about pushing back the Trumps, the Scott Pruitts of the world, the Rudy Giulianis of the world. And I want you to stay tuned. I've got something that's, I don't know if I remember hearing about it back in the day, about Rudy Giuliani. I don't remember this tidbit, but I'm going to share something with you a little bit later on in the show about Rudy Giuliani, and I think it sums it up. It sums it all up as to why he has no credibility with me. And should have no credibility with anyone else. I mean, he's just constantly running his mouth on TV. God, we're all tired of it. But stay tuned for that. And, you know, we're just sick of all the swamp people, you know, and all the policy, the crappy policy that goes along with them. There's a lot of damage to healthcare, Social Security, Medicare, and a lot of damage coming to farmers as a result of these tariffs, and consumers, by the way. We've talked a little bit about this, but these tariffs that Donald Trump is constantly talking about, it's become sort of a tit for tat where it just seems to be escalating. And you know, at the end of the day, nobody wins, especially the consumers, and in this case I think the farmers are going to be hit pretty hard as losers in this trade war that Trump is waging. And folks, you know, now that Donald Trump's self-inflicted wound of immigration and separating families on the border has ended, we still have a lot more stuff to be worried about. And I don't know if you've heard about this story, but you think just because Donald Trump signed an executive order stopping the practice of separating immigrant families at the border, it kind of seems like, well, that's over. Well, folks, it's far from it. According to an article today by Reuters, that came out today, Thursday, Reuters is reporting that the immigrant kids that are separated from their parents are being given a range of psychotropic drugs. Yeah, I mean, can this get any worse? The kids are now being given a range of psychotropic drugs to dull their senses, of course, without their parents' consent. And this is reportedly happening at the Shiloh Center in Texas, according to a lawsuit that was just filed by the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law. The Center for Human Rights in constitutional law has filed this lawsuit. And the lawsuit contends that human rights are being violated here for these folks. I mean, up to 9 pills were being administered in the morning to these kids and 6 again in the evening. And the kids were told they would be detained if they refused the drugs. And some kids have even said that they've been held down and given injections at the Shiloh Center in Texas if they refuse the medications. And of course, the lawsuit is seeking a change in the Government Office of Refugee Resettlement. And that's just today, folks, right here in the good old USA. That's what's going on here. It's just part of living in the Trump world. And although the practice of separating immigrants has ended, the fight for the 2,500, 2,400, somewhere in there, kids already separated is far from over. And, you know, I've talked about this before. We all know this. It's no way to govern a nation, folks. The finger-pointing, the lies of his administration, playing crooked with the facts the whole time. Always playing crooked with the facts. He's crooked. Crooked Donald Trump. You know, at first he denied the immigrant families were even being separated. And then it became, if you recall, saying that the Democrats, it's all their fault. It's pointing at the Democrats. It's their fault that this is happening. And this is no way to govern a nation. And as a nation, we saw for the very first time in our history just about, you know, in at least in a very long time in our history, we've started to see some of the darkest days of America and what those days would look like as this policy unfolded and those families were being broken up. We're talking about dark days like when we locked up Japanese Americans in internment camps in World War II for no other reason than the fact that they were Japanese Americans. Something that, you know, we've apologized for and we're ashamed of having done that. I mean, these were Americans in every sense of the word. But dark days like that, and what Trump's policy was doing to immigrants was just as dark as that, as those days. And all the finger pointing and denial from the Trump administration has really exposed, it's opened up the sore, the lack of credibility that this administration has with the public. You know, at first there was no policy of separating immigrant kids. Remember that we were told? I just can't get over how this has unfolded. There was no policy of that coming from Kristen Nielsen. And then it became the Democrats' fault. It's all their fault, folks. It's not me, it's them. Well, you know, it wasn't the Democrats, for God's sakes. I mean, really, do you think that we as a nation, Donald Trump, do you think that we're all that stupid? I mean, hell no. Hell no. We don't believe what you were saying. You control the House and Senate. And until yesterday, you were claiming there wasn't anything that you could do before you signed that executive order. That's a bunch of BS, folks. What does he think we are? You know, he must really think that we're all stupid. You know, if anything, the way Trump is running this country screams for more balance in the House of Representatives. Vote them all out, folks. Vote those Republicans out. How many times are we going to let the vast majority of Republican senators and congressmen, you know, just look the other way? And congresswomen, too, by the way. How many times are we just going to let them all of these Republican congressmen and congresswomen and senators, how long are we going to let them look the other way while Donald Trump runs this country into a hole? Vote them out, I say. Don't forget to use that one tool that you've been given by the forefathers of this country. That tool was given to we the people, and it's the power of your vote. Use it, folks, or lose it. If you haven't voted in a while, this fall election is going to be the time to dust off that power and take it to the poll and use that power of your vote. And if there is one positive thing, folks, out of this immigration issue of separating families, if there's one positive factor, it's that, by God, we as a nation can still come together regardless of party. And that collective power of a nation ended this inhumane policy. That's powerful stuff, folks. When we get outraged, we demand change, and change is what we got. And don't forget that united we stand and divided we fall as a nation. And we need to seek common ground in the future for change. Okay, I want to just take a second here and get refocused on issues that affect you and me for a second. And if you remember back about 5 or 6 months ago, 5.5 months ago, remember back to that corporate tax cut that Trump gave away, that huge, huge corporate tax cut that Trump gave away. Remember the tax cut he also gave to the richest 2% of Americans. And my whole point was, back then when this was happening, is why are we cutting taxes when the economy has been improving steadily since Obama left office? And secondly, why do the rich benefit more than the middle class and poor with Trump's tax cut schemes? Why is that? These are things you should be asking yourself. The economy was improving at the time. It was continuing to improve since Obama left office. And why were we cutting taxes back then? Just because he could do it is not good enough. And folks, it kind of looks like, even back then, it's looking like I was right. You notice that just in the past week or two, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates and has also signaled that two more increases are coming. Two more raises in interest rates are yet to come. In personal terms, we can just look at the mortgage interest rates and you'll see what I mean. In late 2016, the rate for a 30-year mortgage was 3.58%. Today, that rate is 4.62%, and going higher, folks. It's going higher. And as you know, the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to cool down the economy when it's starting to heat up. So my point is that Trump's tax cuts came at the wrong time. The Fed is contradicting Trump by raising interest rates today. They don't think the tax cuts were necessary either. They don't think they were necessary either because they're raising the rates to cool this economy down. So it just justifies my point that this was a big giveaway and it was ill-timed. Why would you spend all of that effort in stimulating an economy that didn't need it, that was yet to be then just throttled back down by the Federal Reserve raising interest rates? Why would you use that tool when we didn't need it to be used? Why not save that for when we've got a recession? That's kind of how it's always worked, folks. It's a case of the right hand fighting the left hand. Why lower taxes, at least as much as Trump did? Why did he lower them as much and as far as he did? Why lower taxes when the economy was already trending higher? It makes no sense to me, and it makes no sense to me today, and it probably will never make sense to a lot of people, including yourselves probably out there. Why was he doing that when we didn't need it? So you can thank Trump for higher interest rates, folks, and you can thank Trump for me the next time you see him for that little nugget of higher interest rates. And you can also thank Trump for the fiscal crisis he's created in the process of lowering taxes. We have less money in the government, trillions less for that matter, and that's trillions less for new roads, new bridges. Think about that the next time you drive over a bridge that's about to crumble and fall apart at any time. Thank Trump for that. Trump has single-handedly created or started the fire of a fiscal crisis with his tax cuts for the rich that will affect each and every one of us in some way. Either the roads and bridges we drive on daily or the Social Security that we thought would be there when we retire. It's going to touch each and every one of us by the time the effects of these tax cuts have fully soaked into our economy. Mark my words, folks. It's going to touch each and every one of us by the time it soaks into the economy. It's kind of like the Trump whirlpool of self-inflicted wounds just continues. It's like a crappy, inhumane immigration policy. And now we've got the whirlpool of tax cuts that benefit the rich and starve Social Security and Medicare funds that our retirees depend on. And it's up to you to vote so that this Trump whirlpool doesn't suck this nation down the drain. It's up to you. So because of that massive transfer of wealth to the rich and to the corporations through that tax cut 5 months ago, House Republicans are now screaming, folks, House Republicans are now screaming that to balance the budget 9 years, they need to make cuts to things like Medicare and other safety net programs. The rich get the money. And how much are we talking about from that tax cut? We're talking over $1 trillion from the tax cut, which then simply created more than $1 trillion in debt for the U.S. And the Republicans in the House, they scream and shout and they run about, but the net result is that we as Americans, we pay for those tax cuts with cuts to Social Security and Medicare. And even though Trump was elected on a promise that he wouldn't cut those programs, the cuts to those programs are right there in last Tuesday's budget that the House Republicans released. Just last Tuesday, folks, you can read it for yourself. All those cuts are in there. They're all screaming and shouting. We don't have enough money to balance the budget, and it's a problem. Now we have to cut, cut, cut. And I said that was going to come too. Don't forget this in November. Those tax cuts to the rich were ill-timed and ill-conceived, and we're all paying for them right now. And I've also got a link if you want to check out more about what that budget is about, what the details are in that budget. It was just released last Tuesday, according to the Washington Post, and I've got a link to that article in my show notes that you can check out. And feel free to read a little bit more about who's involved and exactly how loud they're screaming that these things need to be cut. And one interesting note is that the Republican budget, it assumes that they will repeal the Affordable Care Act, folks, yet again. That was one interesting thing that I read in that article, is that the Republican congressman and congresswoman in their budget, they're assuming that they will repeal the Affordable Care Act. How many times has it been? Over 70 times that they've tried to kill the Affordable Care Act. Instead of fixing the darn thing, all they want to do is kill it. They're not done yet killing a health care plan for millions of poor Americans. Like I said, instead of fixing it, they're not done trying to kill it. And I think I speak for all Americans when I say that Americans want a health care plan that works. We want you to fix what's there. It's a good start. It's not perfect. It needs to be fixed, not destroyed. I don't know if you saw this, because of all the other news that the Trump fog machine floods into our daily news networks, because of that flood of fog, you know, and all the other stuff that he comes out with, you know, just spinning our wheels on this, like self-inflicted wounds, you know, like the separating immigrant families. I mean, that's all self-inflicted. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but back on June 4th, Politico.com reported that in Maine, Governor Paul LePage, and what a character he is, and I don't mean that in a good way, but back on June 4th, Politico.com reported that in Maine, Governor Paul LePage was ordered, by a state superior court judge to adopt Obamacare's Medicaid expansion when a November ballot initiative approved the Medicaid expansion by a majority of Maine's voting population. A majority approved it. And even after the vote approved the Medicaid expansion in Maine, the governor refused to expand Medicaid. Said he wasn't going to do it. He was going to ignore what the voters wanted him to do. And like I said before, folks, when we get together, we the people can force change when we want and when we need change. And I'm glad to report to you that Maine will be the next state to approve the Medicaid expansion, and roughly 80,000 low-income residents of Maine will now have access to health care. They will now have access to health care because he's been ordered by a state superior court judge to expand Medicaid. So when we get together, folks, just another example, when we get together, we the people, through the power of the vote, can affect change. Don't ever forget, don't ever underestimate the power of your vote. And I want to say, don't mess with we the people, Governor LePage. I think you just figured that out, because we'll step right on you like a little bug, mash our foot on it. You can feel the effects of that right now. So look at that budget, folks. Take a look at that new Republican budget that they're talking about. All the Republicans in the House are screaming and shouting and running about, looking to cut all the programs they can after that massive tax cut for the rich. We knew it was coming. I told you it was coming. Look at that budget, folks. And look at how, after that massive transfer of wealth to corporations and the rich, how they want you to pay for all that in some shape or form. They all want you to pay for it. The projected budget skyrocketing, shortfalls as a result of that tax cut are monumental, and they want you to pay for it. That's how they want it to work. But don't forget, you hold the power of the vote. And folks, like I said, here's a good reason why I can't believe that anything that Rudy Giuliani says, folks. And I just want you to hang in there for just one second. I'm going to tell you why I don't think any of us have any right to believe what comes out of that man's mouth. Stay right there, and I'll be right back. And you know what? I think it was Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer. He was right when he said that Rudy is a train wreck. And I just want to add that Rudy is a train wreck. Yeah, no doubt. But he just won't go away. Go away, Rudy. Go on, get. I mean, anytime he sees a camera or a microphone, he's like a moth to a flame. Flutters right on over. And we're all sick of the crap that he spreads. It's over the top. Even folks in the Trump administration, I must say, are sick of the crap that he says. But here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal on Rudy. I don't know how this... I'm not going to trust... Personally, I'm not going to trust anyone who, after 14 years of marriage to his first wife, had that marriage annulled after he discovered... After he discovered 14 years into that marriage that he was married to a second cousin. What? I mean, I don't believe a word that man says. If it took him 14 years to do that math and figure that out, folks, I'm not too sure he knows what the hell he's talking about today. It's endless. You know, where's the common sense, folks? I mean, this is just, Rudy, go away, please. Just go away. Just go. And that little tidbit about Rudy came from a Washington Post article from March 8th of 2006. Washington Post, March 8th, 2006. I forgot about all of that. Maybe back then, you know, Rudy just wasn't as prominent in the news. But, man, that's scary. How in the hell? I mean, I'm not going to... Forget it, Rudy. I'm done. I'm not going to listen. I change the channel anytime I see you on there. You've got Rudy, you've got huge credibility issues, and maybe that's why he fits right in with the Donald Trump administration as his spokesman. They both have credibility issues. But for me, folks, I don't buy anything that Rudy is selling. I'm not buying it. Well, folks, that's what I've got for you this week. Some things to think about and look at that budget. And I think it's time that we start screaming and shouting about it. Not just the Republicans in the House that are screaming about how they want to cut what you will earn for your retirement, what few safety nets the poor people have. They're screaming and shouting about that. I think we need to look at this tax cut and say, listen, guys, you created this problem. You created it. And don't forget the power of that vote. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us here at the Rusted Culture. And if you ever want to reach us, you can do so at rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. Until the next show, I want to thank you for tuning in. And I'm your host, Frank Ebersold. Until then.